Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Based on a true story, The Keeper tells a sweeping story of U.S. Army veteran George Eshelman, a man heavily impacted by his fellow veterans' suicides. He decides to help raise awareness for military members' suicides by hiking the entire nearly 2,200-mile Appalachian Trail from Maine to Georgia. On the trek, he carries 363 name tags from the uniforms of military members who committed suicide given to him by their families. It's a very touching film, very heartfelt film, and one that raises the awareness of suicides among our military. And we're lucky and fortunate to have with us today the director, writer, as well as the lead actor in this film, The Keeper, and that would be Angus Benfield. Angus, welcome to Film School Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Obviously, this is a very personal film. It feels like this is a film that is about something that doesn't get enough attention. Suicide in among veterans who have not, going back as far as you want to. I mean, the Vietnam War in particular seems to have been a period of time when the U.S. public became aware of the problem in a way that we had probably not before. And every war moving forward has been the residue of so much of that has been the cost once these soldiers come home. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration for the film. What drew you to the story of George Eshelman?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I read the script and it just really touched my heart. You know, I feel that it's something that I feel I could really relate to, even though I don't have a military background. But I certainly understand what it's like to struggle with mental health and anxiety and depression and all these aspects, and also realizing that so do so many other people. And besides even just the military veterans, I mean, we got 22 suicides every single day from veterans. And then, but then this, that doesn't also account for all the other things that happen. You know, it could be slow, like George talks about, like a slow suicide process where they're like drinking themselves to death, or they're taking drugs, or there's violence, or this. All this whole ripple effect that comes from PTSD in general. And then you have the civilian factor as well, which is like, and we see it more and more with young people and older people. I mean, any age where people are just becoming hopeless. And so that was the thing. I wanted to make this film with minimal means that I had to make it, and just to get that message out, because in the hope that it might save a life, it might create that discussion when someone watches it that helps them to sort of take another step forward in life and not do something that, you know, is going to be devastating and taking their own lives. So that was the drive. It was just like, it's a beautiful story. It's a true story, which I'm very passionate about, like true stories and stuff. And it was like, let's just make this happen. And that's what drove me to it. I just really connected to it first on a personal level.
And one of the things about having watched The Keeper is I do think that this will spur conversations. And I think that's much of the intent of the film, is to spur a conversation among family, among a community moving forward. And without getting too far into a discussion about the sort of the bigger problem of war and putting people in these very exceedingly insane situations, is that we just essentially came out of a 20-year war in Afghanistan. And what I've been reading and seeing in the data about this is the longer the war, the more sort of psychological damage coming out of a war where did we win, did we lose? That's another whole part of it. You know, what was the point? And when these veterans come home, these are the things they grapple with, not only their own personal experiences, which I can only imagine are horrifying in so many ways, but just the fact that what was that for? Why was I there? So I think all of those things are, in some manner of speaking, addressed in the film. And maybe I'm going too far afield here, but I do feel like that's part of this conversation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to address all those aspects. And Yeah, absolutely. And also the things that happen to this, to the soldiers, you know, like whether it's a sexual assault and other situations that we kind of tackle everything. And that's was the repercussion for one of the characters, you know, that could, you know, when they came home, there was no justice for things that happened to them personally. And then they ended their lives. So there's a lot of different things. Yeah. We tried to kind of tackle everything as much as we could without, you know, and then hopefully from that, that's enough to get people to talk about it. But yeah, definitely that feeling of like, what was the point of this? Why did we do this? But at the same time, there's a real sense we still celebrate the veterans. We're not trying to, you know, it's very positive about that. It's very patriotic, very supportive of that. And it's just more like, and again, we address that too, showing that, hey, look, it's not like anyone regrets doing what they do, but there are just consequences to the actions and for fighting for the country. And every war is, you know, even when you watch Peter Jackson's They Won't Grow Old, the restored World War One documentary, and you hear those soldiers that came back and even World War One, and no one knew that the war was real because they couldn't see it because there was no footage, there was no film footage. And they just said, oh, you'll be fine, get on with your life. And, you know, and some of the soldiers, their parents wouldn't even talk to them. They were discriminated because they fought in this war that no one really even believed existed. It was crazy. So it's been, yeah, as you said, it's happened with all the wars. And that's where film is a really great medium to come in. Like, and you saw Oliver Stone do it with like Platoon, and, you know, Francis did it with, you know, Apocalypse Now, whatever, you know, these earlier war movies. Obviously, All Quiet on the Western Front was a book of ancient, but it was also a great film in the original ones. And so cinema is a great, yeah. And we also see that during World War II with the, you know, the whole story of, you know, again, showing the concentration camps and what happened in Auschwitz. No one believed that until they showed footage of that. So the visual medium is such a powerful thing. And yeah, that's kind of a tool we can use to sort of show the civilians as well, who don't know what's really going on, and educate them on the struggles and pain that a veteran goes through, and also for the veterans and their families themselves to sort of connect to, relate to, and obviously hopefully help them to sort of process and release the pain and start the discussion and hopefully seek help. So.
Exactly. That I think is really the strength of the film. And just from a personal level, my dad served in Korea and he never talked about it.
So
I think what we're talking about in the bigger picture and opening up those conversations among family members and others is important. And that's really the heart and soul of this film is that. Now you're not only are you the main character in the film, the lead actor, you're also co-director on the film along with Kendall
Brian.
Was it always your intent to be sort of the dual roles of being the lead actor and director or co-director on this? How did that sort of evolve for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously my background is I've sort of, yeah, obviously worked on both sides of the camera, but predominantly I'm more of an actor lately. And but then, you know, again, through necessity, I, you know, will take on other roles if I have to. I originally was just going to direct and act in this. I think, yeah, obviously from an acting point of view, I really related to the character and I really related to George. And I felt like it wasn't a huge stretch for me to play him like physically or whatever. I don't have a military background, so I didn't want to make a complete goose of myself and say all the wrong things and stuff. So, and I've worked with Kenny before. He's been a producer on projects and he had directed some short films and he's a Marine. So I said, well, how about we co-direct and you make sure I don't do anything stupid. and then I'll, you know, we can sort of tag team and stuff. Plus also it's quite an emotional heavy film. Shifting those gears can be quite difficult. And how it worked was, and this was Kenny's first feature. And so at the beginning, it was like I was kind of probably doing a lot of the directing and he was kind of just kind of getting his, you know, feet wet and getting into it. And then by halfway through, it was quite draining emotionally and stuff. And then he was kind of getting more confident. So he sort of took over and directed the second half of it, which was great. So I could just focus on the more sort of heavier elements of the acting because we did it in a very linear process, pretty much. As the story is told, we started in Maine, we went to Georgia, the story starts in Maine, goes to Georgia. So that was kind of a good good process. And then, yeah, so it worked really well. And since then, Kenny's directed two other films where I've just acted in. So it was a great partnership.
You have a wonderful cast in the film. I thought the supporting cast was terrific in terms of the people you meet along the trail. I know that George was in the film. I'm so glad you were able to bring him into the film. It's, I mean, as a presence, I'm sure, on set for this and lending a lot of gravitas to what you were doing. Talk about that relationship that you developed with George in this.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, obviously, we had talked on the phone and Zoom a few times over the sort of year or so in development. And then we all met in LA, George, Todd, and Kenny. We all got together and did a little promo video, went for a bit of a short little hike, dealing with a very personal story. And he, you know, wanted to make sure he was, you know, handing his baby over to the right sort of person. And on my side, I was like, I wanted to make sure I'm not dealing with someone who's going to be hating everything I do and, you know, very difficult to work with. And it's like, how are we going to do this? And I wasn't sure at the beginning. I thought this could be really tricky because I'm dealing with such real stuff here, because I don't know how I would personally handle it. But we just connected really well. Kenny and Todd connect. We all, and they all sort of had, so Kenny, Todd, and George had crossover in military worlds where they didn't know. So like Kenny and George were in the same war, and then Todd and Kenny crossed paths in Marine school and stuff. So it's kind of weird. No one knew that until we actually all met up. So there's this weird sort of connection. But we kind of, we connected. George gave me the pack and the name tapes then. And then by the time we got to filming, it was, and George was on set. We just hit it off, and it was such a delight to have around. I mean, obviously there's the technical advising and things like that, and you could share his stories with all the other actors, also the other four actors who, Haley, Michael, Nick, and Andrew, who are playing all these, all the other characters. They could talk to George about the real people that they were portraying. So it was great. He was there, but the best thing about George is that he's just got such a great sense of humor. And you know, when making a film's hard, it's tough, especially when you're on the Appalachian Trail and it was a very exhausting kind of project, but he was always there laughing and positive. And I know he's going through his own stuff because it was very hard for him to watch certain scenes because he went through them obviously. And so sometimes he had to step away and there's some moments that were a little bit too much for him, but you know, he was just such a breath of fresh air, and he's just got such a great sense of humor. And that was great. And we just connected really well. And I was very blessed to have that in this film, because it could have been really painful. You could have hated everything we're doing. It was really good. Yeah,
exactly. Well, that's the way it feels. It feels like a very loving approach, not only to the story, but to his character as well as the character of George in the film. Yeah. By the way, I want to let people know that you can go to the website for the film by going to thekeepermovie.info.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't get .com. Someone already got it. so we got
And along with that, you get, not only do you get information about the film, but you also get some information about screenings and requesting screenings and how you can go about bringing it into your community.
Yep.
And then also help for people. Maybe people going onto the site will see that there are resources available for people who are struggling with mental health issues, who are veterans. Please do. Please, if you're listening to our conversation, do not hesitate to do that. And now I'm just curious, that any screenings that we've had so far where people have come up to you and shared stories, I can't imagine that they haven't. What's that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we sort of had, even when we were filming, we had a lot of people, we crossed paths with people on the trail who shared stories. Some of the day players we cast also were veterans, and they shared stories. So it already, even as we were making it, we really started to open up discussion. But that was a great thing also about having George there, was that he would find himself talking to people all the time, and they would start opening up to George and stuff. And that was really wonderful. And we've already got a lot of people reaching out to us. We have a memorial board too, that people can reach out on our website where they can share about their loved ones and their past and stuff. So the conversation is already happening with, and we get messages all the time of people saying how much this film's affecting them, and or even just the trailer. People watch the trailer and said, I'm more already affected by it. So we did a screening last night. We had a premiere that was also we did a sort of a satellite sort of feed to about 10, 15 theaters across the country. And that was, And so I think it was about 15 theaters, Cinemark theaters. And so we did a Q&A and everything, but that was great. And, just in that screening alone, people are talking already about how it's affected them and how they want to share it with other people they know. So it's just one of those things where we hope that it continues on, where people, it's just word of mouth. And not only does that help the film get out there, but obviously the purpose of the film getting out there means that it means more opportunities for people to find hope and help. And
well, good on you. Good on the film, The Keeper. There's definitely a spiritual aspect to it. And I can't imagine that hiking along the Appalachian Trail isn't a spiritual experience in and of itself. It looks spectacular. And so that you bring that whole element of this sort of beyond ourselves and beyond our ability to maybe do the things that we know we need to do with the help of others is certainly a great message. And that comes across in bold, big, bold letters in the film. So
that's great. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. No, the trail will provide is what a lot of people talk about on the trail. And it's very true. It's a very spiritual place. And it's a very therapeutic process of going on a trail. And that's what we tried to capture in the film. So it's, my hope is that people could watch this multiple times eventually, especially once it's gone to streaming as well, that if you're struggling, you could kind of watch it a few times and just help as a sort of your own psychological kind of hiking process. And that's what we're trying to capture. The trail's definitely got something on it that's definitely very spiritual.
Yeah. And there's also another level of things you could watch for a second time in the film as well. And I'll leave it there. The film again is called The Keeper, and we have been joined today by the director, co-director, and that would be Angus Benfield. Kendall Bryant Jr. is the other gentleman involved in all of this, and lead actor as well. A terrific role, a terrific project, and I'm so glad that you're getting the word out and hearing the responses. And go to this site, go to thekeepermovie.info to find out more about it, and also resources available. If you or a family member are in a crisis, a mental health crisis or otherwise, the resources are there as well. And so Angus Benfield, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you so much for your film, The Keeper. And congratulations to you on the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.